Now, today this does not work out quite like I thought it would, okay? We have two cross-country runners currently in our church. Look around. They're not here today. So I was going to use one of them in particular. We have a marathon runner in our church. Of course, he's a little out of that right now because of some health issues and all. But I also knew that he wouldn't be here today. So I don't see a whole lot of runners. So I'm just gonna volunteer a make believe runner. Patrick, you look like a runner to me, buddy. So we're just gonna get all we can out of that family today. We had a special there a moment ago, and now we're gonna have Patrick. He's gonna come up and help me. So Patrick, what's your favorite distance to run? I was kind of wondering about that. Have you ever ran any kind of competition at all?
I can't say that I have.
Formal. Have you ever run just for the enjoyment? Good. See, I knew that. That's why you're up here. So that's good. All right. I did a little bit of research, okay, since I didn't have the experts here to talk to. You know, cross country, if you're familiar with cross country, I'm not that familiar, but a little bit through Sean mainly. It's a 5K race, 5K, 5 kilometers, and that comes out to 3.1 miles. And the course is totally different depending on where you're running. If you're running at Liberty, it's a different course. If you're running at Doddridge County, it's a different course. If you're running at South Harrison, it's a different course. You know, wherever you're running, wherever the meet is, it's a different type of animal. But the one thing they have in common, it's cross country. Okay, so sometimes you run across a creek. Almost always there's hills that you go up and hills that you got to go down. And I learned something long ago. You can hurt yourself more going downhill than you can going uphill physically. You can really, really tear some muscles and tendons and all of that. So in this cross country, I did a little bit of research. I thought, well, what is the record for high school cross country meets? And it looked like it's been set somewhere not pretty recently, actually. And at best I remember, the person averaged about 4.5 minutes per mile. Now remember, it's 3.1 miles. So 4.5 minutes per mile. That's pretty good, going up and down hills and across the creek. And then I thought, well, what's average? And anyway, just kind of an average in there might be about 5.5 minutes per mile. Okay, about 5.5 minutes per mile. Okay, now, we're going to assume, do you want to assume up or down, good or bad?
I'm sorry.
We're going to assume, okay, the questions don't get any harder, okay? We're going to assume that this is the high school cross country record holder, okay? Come on, what's wrong with this side? Come on, get with it. So he is the record holder cross country, in cross country, averaging basically 4.5 minutes per mile, okay? But, you know, I'm up for a little bit of a challenge. Are you up for a little bit of a challenge?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Now, I know you've really been training hard, and you've been really working hard and making sure that you eat right and you train right and everything, and you've been making Brittany do all the work around the house so you can train. But what I want you to do, I want you to carry that to the next cross-country meet that you run, okay?
Okay.
How heavy do you think that might be?
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 pounds.
I'd say more like 5 pounds, but maybe I'm just a weakling. All right, so and show them what the letters are. That's a W, okay? That stands for weight, okay? So if I put Patrick in the next competition, now he's the record holder, and I say, now you got to carry this, or we'll put it in a backpack on your back, and you're going to run. Now, I know this is a brilliant group, okay? How many of you think he's still going to be able to run that race and average 4.5 minutes per mile? Probably not going to happen, right? I mean, everybody with me? Everybody see it? So, if I put some extra weight into his backpack or in his life, hold on to that. God. Brittany, remind me next time to call on somebody else. Okay, now here's another one. This is S, and that stands for sin, okay? That stands for sin, and I don't care what he says. This is more like 5 or 6 pounds, okay? So he's already got some weight there he's holding, and he's going to have to manage in the next cross-country meet that he runs. And now, here, take another one. One for each hand, perhaps. Put it in the backpack. Now, how many of you think that's going to slow him down just a little bit more, right? I wouldn't want to run 3.1 miles anyway, and I sure wouldn't want to do it with weight holding me down and sin holding me down, these two bricks, all right? Thank you, Patrick. You did a bang-up job, buddy. We can put it up here on this little thing if you don't mind. All right. Now, you say, why in the world, preacher? What in the world are you talking about? Can anybody remember the subject that we're talking about here on Sunday mornings? Now, we've kind of expanded it out. This is part number 3, and I'll refresh your memory in the points a little bit as we start out. But we're talking about plotting for the Lord. Plotting, moving forward with determination, enduring for the Lord. Now, it's important that everyone here, you say, I know Jesus. This message primarily is for those that know Jesus as their Savior. You see, every day in life, we make a lot of choices. We make a lot of choices. Am I going to be faithful to God or am I going to quit? Now, I figure people that are here would think, you know what, I'm not so sure. I'm really not a quitter. I doubt a very many Christians who have quit serving the Lord. Now, I'll say again, if you're truly born again, you cannot lose your salvation, okay? You cannot lose your salvation. You can give up on God, so to speak, but he's not going to give up on you if you have truly trusted Jesus as your Savior. You got me? But let me tell you, we can look around and say, you know what, so-and-so used to serve the Lord, but they've quit. You know, so-and-so used to be faithful as the day is long. They used to be at every service. Someone used to be a Sunday school teacher. Someone used to work with the kids, and they're not around anymore. Why is that? Because they have quit serving the Lord. They have quit plodding forth in their service to the Lord. Now, I was thinking about this. If we had two halls that we used, let's just say these halls. Why not? Let's say these walls, okay? On this side, let's say we have a wall of faith, let's say. All the people who trusted Jesus as Savior as a result of Oak Mound or went through Oak Mound, and they finished strong serving the Lord because they plodded forth day after day after day after day and kept serving the Lord until they met their Maker. So we had a little picture up there, and we made this great big nice entourage over here of all those folks. But on this side of the church, we have little pictures of all those who used to be faithful to God here at Oak Mound, who used to do certain things, and then we just have their pictures up through there. Now, I'm not talking just necessarily present, but I'm talking about through the years, those that have quit, through the years, those that have been faithful. You know, I'm not really convinced that this side will have a whole lot more people than this side. I figured they might be about the same. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the wall of faith, don't you? I want to be known as one that keeps on serving the Lord. Now, can I share a statistic with you that may mean something or may not mean something, okay? You say, preacher, are you ever tempted to quit? Sunday school teacher, Bill, are you ever tempted to? You don't have to answer me. Let's ask you rhetorically. John, have you ever been tempted to quit? Linda, have you ever been tempted to quit? Robin, have you ever been tempted to quit? I mean, sometimes these things. Now, it's not a good thing to quit. But sometimes things get a bit overburdening, don't you think? Sometimes things get a little bit difficult and they're not working out the way my human brain might say that I think it should be. Can I say, according to a Barna survey, and Barna's pretty reputable in surveys, and I believe this was taken in 2022, 42%, just to say this is common among a lot of people, 42% of preachers that were surveyed said they had thought seriously about quitting in the last year. You think about it. Now, listen, we're already in a critical shortage of conservative, biblical pastors in our country. I'm hearing that more and more and more. Maybe not specifically right here, but certain parts of our country, they can't even find a good Bible-believing and preaching preacher. Now, and you think about those numbers, 42% have thought about. But you think about it, that doesn't count the ones that have already quit. So those numbers are a little bit low. So I'm only saying that to say, when preachers think about quitting, it's just as possible that people in the pew may think about quitting or whatever ministry they're doing for God, because it's not working out the way I might think it should be working out. But can I tell you, it's always too soon to quit? Can I tell you that God is always faithful even when people are not? Can I tell you that there's going to be a reckoning someday before the Lord, and we just need to keep, if anything, we don't need to be thinking about quitting. We need to be thinking about how can I turn it up a notch. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You'll see where the bricks come in here in a moment, okay? You say, preacher, I think he's lost it. What do bricks fit into this? All right. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3. The same passage we've been looking at. We've been breaking it apart, dissecting it, and talking about it. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, such criticism, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now again, this is part three of this sermon series, A Plotter for Jesus. The main point we looked at in the first message, I believe it's nestled in verse one. If you look at the overall big point of the passage, excuse me, it says, the last phrase of the verse, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Excuse me. That helped. All right. Let us run with patience the race that is set before. You know, the word I like there is endurance. Endurance. Yeah, that would kind of encapsulate what it's talking about. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before. In this passage of Scripture, Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews. He's saying, you know what? The Christian life is a lot like a race. And remember, it's not really like a sprint. It's more like a cross-country meet or more like a marathon. And he said, you know what? We need to run with endurance. Just keep on going. Keep on trotting forward. Keep on plodding forward. Even when it gets muddy, even when it gets difficult, keep going. I think that's the main point of this passage, and that was sermon number one. And then last Sunday, we started talking about, well, how do you plod? If that's the point, if we're supposed to plod, if we're supposed to keep going for the Lord, how do we do that? And remember, I taught you four words. It spells out the word plod. Now, if anybody remembers that without looking at your notes, you get the gold star for the not only for the day, for the whole month. Let me help you out. those four words. Spell out the word plod. The first one is pattern, lighten, right? Own it, and ditto. Okay, y'all got that? Y'all can do a little better than that, okay? You got it now? You sure? Okay, pattern, lighten, own it, and ditto. Okay, now y'all should be getting better at this, not worse. Pattern, lighten, own it, ditto. Now come on, y'all are acting like it's Sunday morning or something. I want you to act like it's camp time, okay, or vacation Bible school's coming up pretty soon. Little bit of enthusiasm, all right? The four words we're looking at, how do you applaud? And we already looked at one. We're going to talk about it briefly, then we're moving on to point two, or lighten, all right? Pattern, lighten, own it. Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. How do we keep plodding? Okay, it's fine. It says we're supposed to plod forth. How do we do it? Last week, we looked at the first phrase of chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That pattern, follow the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. If you know what chapter 11 is all about, it's just account after account after account how that people were faithful to God, how they kept plodding forth even in the midst of difficult times. And can I say the things that are mentioned here were a whole lot more difficult than most of the things that we'll ever encounter in life? So one way that we can keep plodding forth, keep putting one foot in front of the other, is pattern ourselves after those that have gone on before and have kept on serving the Lord. For instance, in this chapter, we talked about Noah. You know, Noah built the ark. It took him 120 years, and he preached righteousness and did not see one new convert. The only ones on the ark was him, his wife, his three sons and their wives. That's it. Wow. You think you got a difficult time working with those little ones? You think you got a difficult time working with those adults in Sunday school, right, John? That is a pretty difficult bunch you got. But, now for 120 years, I'd call that a plotter, wouldn't you? He was faithful. Abraham, 25 years of sojourning. You know, God told him, you're going to have an heir. Your relatives are going to be like the folks following you are going to be like the stars of the sky or like the grains of sand. He wandered around 25 years without a homeland. Remember, he left going to where he didn't even know where he was going to. I call that a plotter, wouldn't you? Joseph is mentioned in chapter 11 as well. Remember, he was in prison really for nothing that he did. He was just hated by his brothers. I think he had a little bit of an attitude, maybe a little bit of pride, but you can't put someone in prison for that. But his brothers did, sold him into slavery, 13 years, but he remained faithful. He was a plotter. Do you think there was days he might have got up and said, you know what, I think I'll just quit? Probably. But he kept plotting faithfully. Moses, 40 years of desert wanderings with the children of Israel. I think it would have been better if there wasn't the children of Israel. I mean, just wandering around 40 years in the desert wouldn't have been fun, but didn't you throw in the children of Israel, which they had a complaint for everything. I know people like that. They have a complaint for everything. But he kept plodding forth for the Lord. And remember, we even looked at the unnamed plotters. Chapter 11, verse 35. Notice these unnamed plotters for Jesus. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mocking and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, later, Jesus came later. when you read that, don't you think it makes some of our little flimsy excuses for thinking about quitting on the Lord seem a bit insignificant? Do you know how many people quit churches over... I'll be honest with you. Sometimes people quit churches and they won't tell you why they quit the church. Now, that's really productive, let me tell you. I mean, there's been people that I've known and I thought I had a pretty good relationship with, and I'm like, you know, well, just, I mean, even kind of after the fact, you try to encourage them at the beginning and all, and, you know, not a whole lot of response. And then you kind of, really, out of no ulterior motive, just say, well, did we do something wrong as a church or as a pastor, or did someone say something to you? And they still just kind of grunt at you a little bit. You know, is there anything we can do to make, you know, that's about it. Now, that's really productive, isn't it? How can we improve if we don't know what we did wrong? But, you know, a lot of people quit over some of the goofiest things. That preacher, he didn't shake my hand. That preacher, I tell you what, if he does one more illustration at the beginning of the message, and you can quit a church, you can quit a church and say, you know, sometimes God moves you on to different churches, but very rarely. Can I say that? You know, we just get discontent in our souls sometimes and think, well, surely the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but it's normally not. We were taught a long time ago, it's not usually greener, or it might be greener, but it's usually poison, right? So you got to be careful about church hopping. You got to be careful about going from here to here to here, because they must do this better. Usually, if you're that kind of person, give just a little bit of time, and they'll be unhappy wherever they are, and then they'll be unhappy the next place and the next place. You and I need to make up our mind that I'm going to be a little bit more thick-skinned than that, you know? If the preacher didn't speak to me, it's probably because his brain was somewhere else. And if someone said something mean to me at church, well, God bless their heart. I'm serving Jesus. I'm not serving people. So why in the world would I quit on Jesus because somebody with flesh and blood said something mean to me? Listen, we got to keep on plodding for Jesus. We got all kind of examples in Scripture. And we read those stories and, oh, my heart is so warmed by that. I can't believe those people did. But yet, we think about quitting on the Lord. Now again, I almost have to put a little asterisk right there. For some that may be listening, it's not a matter of quitting. It's a matter you need to get back in the ball game. You know Jesus, but you're just not giving it much effort. Can I tell you? We need you. We need you. God needs you. Why did he leave you in this world? Not just to do your own thing. God left you in this world to do his thing, right? So plotting for Jesus. The main point, I believe, of this passage is, we need to keep plodding for the Lord. Keep on enduring for Jesus. How do we do that? Pattern, or following the pattern of others who were faithful in difficult times. Now, y'all remember those four words, right? Okay, what are they? Hey, that's pretty good. Let's try that again with everybody moving your lips at least. Okay, here we go. Okay, now, today we're talking about lighten. Now, remember, we're talking about how to plod forth. The one we looked at last week, pattern ourselves after others who have been faithful, even in more difficult times than what we've been in. The next one is lighten, okay? Lighten. It's right there. Notice what it says. In this analogy of running, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now listen, if you pay real close attention, I believe God's got some encouragement and help for you today. It mentions two things in particular. Now, I realize that through most of my life, when I would read this, I would group them together. You know, it's like, okay, we're talking about the weight and the sin, and it's talking about the same thing. I heard someone once preach on it, I believe, and they broke it down. They said, you know what, we're talking about weight and we're talking about sin. And both of us can weigh us down and burden us down and make us want to quit serving the Lord. I believe there are two different things mentioned right here. Not one, but two. Okay. Do y'all want to do calisthenics? Come on. Okay. Charity, you got it, Charity. You're awake. She's, no, I don't want to do calisthenics. Remember camp calisthenics? Remember the exercise at the beginning of the morning? Brushing your teeth and, well. You know, that's what some people come up with to make you exercise. But I believe there's two things mentioned right here. And can I tell you that I'll bet you every single Christian here today struggles in one or both of these areas right now. Now it says, now if you want to keep on going for Jesus, remember the whole point is enduring. Cheerfully moving forward. Keep on plodding. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Now what in the world is it talking about? Every weight. You realize that that this weight could even be a good thing in your life, but it's not the best thing in your life. And since it's a good thing and not the best thing, it could be a bad thing. Think about that a little bit. I guarantee you that if I sit down with you long enough, you or I, one, would talk about how busy we are. Life is just so busy. Life is just so busy. Life is just so busy. You know, we have cars that'll go crazy fast. We got microwaves. We got air fryers. We got all kind of stuff. We know what time it is. We can access about any bit of information in just a little bit and pull up our phone. You'd think that somewhere along the line we'd have more time. But you know what we've done? All we've done is taken whatever time it freed up and threw more stuff in there. More and more weight. And I would almost make this blanket statement all around, including myself, we all need to lose some of the weight in our life. And I'm not talking about physical pounds. I'm talking about we need to lose things in our life that are distracting us from the primary reason God left us in this world, to serve Him. You've heard me say this before, but a good thing, you got to think about this a little bit. You can't, if it's the first time you've heard it, you're going to say, a good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. Think about that. A good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. You see, God has a perfect plan for your life. And God knows exactly what He wants in your life. And if you know, I don't think you have to really concentrate on a whole lot or even try to do it. It's just life kind of happens. If you start putting all these other things that squeezes out the time and the life that you have for doing what God ultimately wants you to do, that's a weight in your life. And that distracts us from what we should be doing. Now, you say, what for instance? Give me some. Now, these are things that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves unless they begin to rob us of all the things that we should be doing for the Lord. Let me take an official survey because some of you are looking at me a little perplexed. You may be wondering what my tie is, okay? My tie is the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of OD's old ties. They gave me some ties of OD, and I believe this is one of OD's old ties. I like it. So did that answer your question? So now you can smile at me. But really, I mean, you think about it, for instance. What about, see, I can use this one because I do a little bit of it myself. What about hunting? Hunting. H-U-N-T-I-N-G. Is there anything wrong with hunting? Nope. Good time to go out. Good time to spend time in the woods. Good time to pray to the Lord. Good time to shoot that 20-point monster buck out there and brag about it for the next 15 years. Now, there's nothing wrong with hunting, okay? But if I spend all my time, it's a good thing, but if it's not the best thing that God has for me, It becomes a bad thing. And it becomes a weight. Because we not only fill it with that, we fill it with this other weight and another weight and another weight. And before long, we're like, I just don't think I'm just, you know, I got to eliminate something. So let's just eliminate church. Well, come on. You got to keep in mind what's most important. Now, I got to be fair to ladies, okay? What if you're a crafter? Okay, you're a crafter. Do you know what I mean by that? I didn't say you were crafty. I said you were a crafter. You know, you love homemade crafts. I mean, you can just whip them together, and you're good about it, and you Google it and do all that. Now, is there anything wrong with being a crafter or making crafts? No. But if it comes to the point that you're spending all your time or more than you should being a crafter instead of being a servant of the Lord, it's become a weight. And it can slow you down and hold you back. And again, for whatever reason, the devil wants us to get too involved and so involved and so involved. Some people are part of this committee and this and this and this and this. Sometimes out in the world, we're parts of this and that and the other. We got to make sure we got to get our hand in everything. Ask yourself, is this God's best for me? I'm telling you, we really need to slow down, people. We got to ask ourselves some good questions. Even though it's a good thing, is it the best thing for me? And I don't know about you. I find myself sometimes saying, I'd like to simplify, but boy, it's not easy. But you know someone that can help you with that? God. If you realize that some of the things you're doing in life have become a weight, just like that brick, holding you back, and even tempting you, making you wanting to quit on the things that are most important. Quit plotting for Jesus. Guess what? God can help you get that out of there and get the right balance. I'm telling you, we live in a society today that, I mean, I'm sorry, but I believe it's almost rare to have a Christian that's in balance. I mean, we just got so many things. Again, that's a weight. I don't believe specifically weight is speaking of a sin, even though it can become a sin. But what about, then it goes on and says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin. So here's the second thing that's mentioned. Sin. Do you realize? Now, we'll never be perfect. We'll never be perfect on this side of eternity. Okay? But you realize that part of the reason people want to quit serving the Lord is because there's sin in their life. I've found that sin makes cowards out of every one of us. I mean, we're kind of on fire for Jesus, really. You're like, yeah, I'm going to read my Bible. You know, I might even tell my neighbor about Jesus. And then we go back to that old pet sin, or we go back to using our mouth in ways we shouldn't, or using our eyes in ways that we shouldn't. And let me tell you, it becomes a weight. It holds us down. And it's like, makes quitters out of us, makes cowards out of us. Oh, I'm not going to witness. I'm too scared. And I'm not preaching perfection, but folks, I look around, I don't see a whole lot of teeny boppers here. I don't see a whole lot of really young people. If you're dealing with the same sin you've been dealing with, why not let God get it out of your life? It's holding you back from running the race that God has for you. Now, here we're not talking about, well, it's a good thing, it's just out of proportion. I'm talking about out-and-out sin. You know what sin is. If you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, one of the things is, we Christians, I think we're worse. Let me make sure I say this right. I believe we're worse at sins of omission than we are sins of commission. And that makes us feel really good sometimes. Now, we still commit sins, absolutely, sins of commission. I'm not saying we don't. I think we'll struggle with certain areas. Absolutely, we need to get those out of our life. But, you know, there's also a sin of omitting things that ought to be in our life. That's this out-and-out sin. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Now, some of you have been taught up to here with Bible knowledge. You know what you're supposed to be doing, right? I mean, it's real simple. I don't know if I've shared this as simply here lately, but I'll move on quickly. But every Christian ought to be reading their Bible. If you're not reading your Bible the way you should, you're sinning. Every Christian ought to be praying to the Lord. And it's not this like, Lord, I need your help real quick. I mean, it's like spending quality time in prayer. If you're not, that's sin. Every Christian, the Christian life is not really that complex. Read the Bible, pray, tell others about Jesus. If you're not telling other people about Jesus and sharing the good news of the gospel, you're sinning. You're keeping it to yourself. What else? What about tithing? What about giving your resources to God through the local church? If not now, when are you going to start? I mean, Uncle Sam gets his share. Shouldn't God get his share? Actually, it all belongs to God. So if you're not tithing, you are sinning. I mean, what's a preacher supposed to say about that? And what about being faithful to God's house? If you're not faithful to God's house, you're sinning. There's no two ways about it. And you say, man, I got so much going on in my... Well, again, simplify. Simplify. Now, is that really complicated? Read the Bible, pray, tell others about Jesus, tithe, and be faithful to come to church. If we don't do those things, we're sinning against God. It's like a brick in our life. It's like a brick in our walk with the Lord, in our race for the Lord. And we might be tempted to quit. We need to get rid of the weights, the distractions, that is, the things that are good, that are squeezing out the things that are best. And we need to make sure that we get the sin out of our life. Again, we'll never be perfect on this side of eternity, but ask yourself, can I do better? I don't know. When I ask myself that question in the mirror, the answer is, yep. I want to be a plotter for Jesus. How about you? How about you? I think it's important that you and I, like I said, one of the messages, you know, I don't think people will remember Steve DeLay. They might remember, I say about every word under the universe wrong. They may remember that I have an accent. Sometimes I have to spell certain words, but I don't think they'll say, now there was a preacher. I really don't. I don't think they'll look at me and say, now there's a good looking fella. You know, I look in the mirror. I see the same that you do, and it's like, man, who's that old guy? I don't know. Sometimes it scares me. I look in the mirror, who is that? Oh, that's me. Okay. So I doubt if they're going to brag on the preaching or brag on the looks or, you know, or someday, you know, you look back and remember it, what was his name? I kind of talked a little bit funny, and he had a really good wife, but he wasn't much. But can you remember, I don't think they'll say, you know what a great mind he had, what a great intellect. My mind was so stimulated today. But I hope that when you look back, you remember and think, he just did what he knew to do was right. He was a plotter for Jesus. You can put on my tombstone. If you're looking for something to put on my tombstone, you can say, as I've said before, you know, he just did what he knew to do was right. Or he stuck to the Bible. Or you could say he was a plotter. And let everybody in the cemetery wonder, what in the world is a plotter? But you know, right? Plotter. I want to be a plotter for Jesus. I want to keep on going. You say, how do you do that? We talked about pattern last Sunday. There's a lot of people, they've done it. They can do it through what they went through. You can too. Don't say, I can't, because you're making a liar. You're lying, because you can with God's help. And today, what do we talk about? Wait. The weight in your life. And you can't run a race for Jesus if you've got all these things going on in your life. Just try to simplify. And you say, preacher, I don't even know where to start. Start on your knees. And pray and say, God, I realize I got too much going on. And a good thing, if it's not the best thing, it's a bad thing. I want to get that weight out of my life. Do you know a great place to start would be when we sing here in just a moment? For you to come up here to the altar. You definitely don't want to talk to the preacher. But you need to talk to God. If he's speaking to your heart today, say, you know what, you got so many distractions in life right now, you need to simplify. Come up here to the altar. Ask the God of the universe to help you simplify and to keep what's most important and get rid of the brick weight that's holding you back. This is the sin brick. This is the weight, sin. You know what? There could be some people out there today who say, preacher, you don't have to go into a whole lot of detail. When you say the word sin, I know exactly what you're talking about in my heart and life. I know what I should be doing that I'm not. I know what I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. You know, this would be a great time as we sing a song here in a moment to come to the altar. Nobody's going to say, what sin are you dealing with in your life? That's between you and God right now, don't you think? I've come to this altar and say, God, I want to applaud for you. I don't want to quit. I don't want to be distracted. I want to keep on moving forward. But there's sin that's holding me back. You see, just like I illustrated with Patrick, we're going around, oh, I'm a Jesus follower, absolutely, and I'm just trudging along. Part of it's because we're so distracted by all the world, the things that don't amount to a hill of beans in eternity. And we're dealing with things that we should have dealt with years ago, sin in our life. I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to run around with these bricks. So if God is speaking to your heart about running the life, running the Christian life the way God wants you to run it, plodding forth, we're going to sing. And there's no shame in coming to the altar. There's glory in coming to the altar. Because you're coming to the place that you can get help. Right? Is there anybody here that would say, you know what, my schedule is perfect. I've got exactly the right amount of stuff in my life. No. So everybody here is qualified to come to the altar if God so leads you. So don't worry about what people are coming to the altar for. Just listen to the Lord. You know, really, sometimes I think,